Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we are opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life, the way it was meant to be, and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. Thanks for joining us today on the journey. Being a disciple of Jesus, that is our focus, especially here in the month of February. We have talked recently in a little four-part series, what's it mean to look like Jesus? We asked, is that even possible? And last Friday, we introduced the idea of being holy as he is holy. Roger, what's our step number three in this little series?
Well, before we get there, you know, this idea of being like Jesus, that can be so far removed for so many people. They just see that as being an impossibility. But there are numerous passages that talk about that very idea. Romans chapter 8, Christ were to be conformed to that image. And in Galatians 4, to Christ be formed in us. And so there are many, many verses that talk about us being like Jesus. Now, we know it's not talking about what he looked like because we don't know what he looked like. We know it's not the impossible because it's not doing the miraculous because we cannot do those things. So we're talking about character traits here. And so as we talked about holiness last week, Jesus was holy, we are to be holy. We're now going to talk about the word faithful. Jesus Christ was faithful in all that he did. And one of the characters and qualities that we should be is that we should be faithful to God. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, the word faithful has a lot of different meanings. Last summer, my wife and I, we went out to Yellowstone, and there was Old Faithful. There's that geyser, and they call it Old Faithful because they know when it's going to go off, and they can set it by the time, and the crowds gather when it's about to go up in the air because they know, and it is dependable or faithful. We may talk about an old dog, and our old dog is faithful. It means he's always there for us, and he's been a loyal companion. When we do our wedding vows, we promise to each other that we will be faithful until death do us part. Now, there's a lot of different meanings in all those, but when we come to the scriptures, the Bible describes Jesus Christ as being faithful. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. He was called a faithful high priest. So as we begin this, Jason, let's first of all come to common understanding about words. What do we mean when we say someone is faithful, or particularly here, Jesus was faithful? We have to understand Jesus first, so then we can get the image that we can be this way. Jesus was faithful, we are to be faithful.
Right. I would think of it in three different levels. Being faithful, number one, is I'm placing my faith in the right source, the right environment. I'm placing faith where it belongs. And so I think of Hebrews chapter 5 that emphasizes how though he was a son, Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And Jesus was heard because of his reverence. And so in one lane, being faithful is placing my faith or my allegiance where it belongs. And that naturally leads into lane number two. Being faithful means that I'm going to act faithfully, right? Because I have placed my allegiance where it belongs, I'm going to serve to borrow from Jesus' parable of the talents, as a good and faithful servant. You remember how that master in Matthew 25 comes back and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. And so it's not that hard to understand. Number one, I put my allegiance where it belongs. Number two, I act faithfully. And what that does is produce a life worthy of the faith or the trust of others.
And what we see with Jesus is in that second lane there, you stay the course.
Yeah.
That's what the idea of faithfulness. And we see that Jesus was tempted to get off that course. Turn these stones into bread is what Satan said in the temptation. It's just Jesus and Satan in that wilderness. No one would have known about that. But he never used a miracle for personal reasons. He never used a miracle just for his own benefit. That would not have been staying the course. He stayed the course. Then he said, go to the top of the temple and jump. The angels will catch you, he says. And once again, that's testing God. Jesus never did that. He stayed the course. And then, you know, I'll give you all these kingdoms. You don't have to go to the cross. Just bow down, worship me, and I'll give you all these things. Again, Jesus stayed the course. So when we look at the faithfulness of Jesus, where it's the idea not just believe in God, but God has a pattern, a path for me to follow. God has expectations for me. And to be faithful means I follow those ways as God wants me to. What would be some other ways, just looking at the life of Jesus, that we could say, again, demonstrates faithfulness to him? Anything come to your mind, Jason?
Yeah, I think trusting him in storms is one of the things that just immediately comes to my mind. We've got these great accounts of real life men who were, many of them experienced fishermen in the middle of a terrible storm, and they're not sure that they're going to live to tell about this storm. And of course, Jesus, in one account, he wakes up and he rebukes the wind and the waves. In another account, he comes walking along the water. But we hear him, for instance, looking at these men and asking them, where is your faith? There's a reason of all the questions that Jesus could have asked that he asked that. And so immediately what comes to my mind is, okay, we have been through an incredible storm, a storm of a lifetime. In our culture here in 2020 leading into 2021, but being faithful to Jesus involves how I'm enduring that storm. Am I allowing, as you talked about on Wednesday, all sorts of bitterness to creep into my heart and take root? And have I been characterized as just an incessant complainer and grumbler? Or am I looking to Jesus and even recommending and celebrating Jesus despite the storm that is going on around me?
I think another way we see the faithfulness of Jesus demonstrated is his continual use of God's word.
Yeah.
He time and time again was asked questions. He always went to the word of God. Let's just pull out a couple examples of these. Matthew chapter 19, Pharisees came to him testing him, asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason at all? They weren't really concerned about divorce. They're trying to trick Jesus. But verse 4, he answered them and said, have you not read? And what he's talking about is the book of Genesis. Jesus, what do you think about divorce? He didn't say, well, here's what I think. Here's what I heard. I read, you know, someone said, took a poll, and this is the, no. What does the Bible say? Faithful to God's word. Then just a few pages later, still in Matthew chapter 22, we find another encounter. This time it's with the Sadducees. And they come up with this big hypothetical situation about this woman who was married to somebody and they didn't have children. So he died, married her brother, he died, married the next one, married seven of them. They all died. Then she died. And then they all went to heaven. And now in heaven, who's she going to be married to? Because she's married to them all. And again, this was a trick question because the Sadducees didn't even believe in resurrection at all. But when Jesus was asked that question, he would say in Matthew chapter 22 and in verse 29, he says, Jesus answered and said to them, you are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures. And then he quotes the word of God. And so time and time again, Jesus was true to what God said. Now, great bridge for you and I.
Sure.
You know, what does your church think about this? Well, that's not the right question. You know, and I really don't know what the church thinks. Here's what the Bible says. You know, well, what do you think about this? Don't give your opinion. Here's what the Bible says. And so faithful to God's word. God's word says this, and Jesus never went against God's word. He never said, well, you know, that's just in the Bible, but times have changed. You won't find Jesus saying that. You won't find Jesus saying, well, you know, culture today allows us to do this. Or he doesn't say, well, God said that, but you know, I really don't think he meant that. You will never, never find that in the scriptures. Jesus was faithful to the word of God. So must we.
We hear him in Revelation as he addresses real life men and women in one of those seven churches of Asia, calling them to be faithful unto death. And certainly that is something that he is not calling us to, but, you know, he was unwilling to walk that walk. How often do we hear him in the Gospels when there are those who are trying to pressure him or live according to their own timeline and have him adopt their timeline of and their body of expectations? How often do we hear him saying things like, my hour has not yet come? The hour is not yet here. But then realizing toward the end of his life, in fact, at the very end of his life, the hour has come. And there was certainly a level of anxiety there that is hard for us to wrap our minds around. And we see that right in the garden as he is praying to the Father, not my will, but yours be done. If at all possible, let this cup pass from me. That was the desire of his flesh. And yet we hear the very language of faithfulness. Not my will, but yours be done, even if this leads to death. And I think most poignantly about his final statement on the cross, when he says in John chapter 19 and verse 30, it is finished. The race that he has run, the scriptures that he has been mindful of, the prophecies he has fulfilled, the difficult walk that he has walked, all in faithfulness to the point of here he is, 6 hours hanging on a cross and able to say, it is finished. But to your point earlier, Roger, that's a bridge to us, right? We hear in the next generation the Apostle Paul saying in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And he's calling Timothy to follow that lead and encouraging Timothy to teach others to do that all the way down to us today.
Now, taking it all the way to today, sometimes we hear this expression, well that guy's a faithful Christian. what do people mean by that?
Yeah, I think we need to be careful with that sort of language, because the way that it seems to me, culturally, it is often applied as well. A faithful Christian is somebody who shows up to a church building on Sunday, maybe gives some money, holds a door for a nice elderly woman on the way out, and pays his taxes. But that is a very cultural view. I would go back to what we were talking about earlier, these different lanes. A faithful Christian is not simply someone in word, but someone who by their very manner of life is living as if Jesus is the King. Right? To go back to our review on Wednesday of your sermon from this past Sunday, self isn't at the center. Even my own family isn't at the center. Jesus is the cornerstone of my life. And because he is, I'm building what he wants me to build. I'm building how he wants me to build. I want to be, no matter what is going on around me culturally or politically or socially in 2021, I want to be the good and faithful servant of my King who could return triumphantly today. And so I'm going to not just talk the talk, but I'm going to walk the walk, and I'm going to try and inspire others to follow in these footsteps of Jesus.
And the problem with that statement, he's a faithful Christian, sometimes that just defines, as you said, somebody just comes on Sunday, yeah, but it doesn't define what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, he may sit in a church building and sleep, but at least he was there. He's a faith. No. And it doesn't describe what the way he could lie, cheat, and steal at work, or he could be mean to his family, but oh, he's there every Sunday. He's a faithful Christian. No, it's more than that. I'm reminded of Matthew 23 when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees there. And he said in verse 25, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence." And so the outside can look great. What's the inside look like? That's faithfulness. Faithfulness looks good on the inside as well as the outside. Faithfulness is the same whether he's in a crowd in a church building or he's by himself. It doesn't matter, because he's true to God. That's that concept. And so here's a man who's been married to a woman for multiple years. And he can say, "I've been faithful to her." And in his definition, well, I've never had an affair. But maybe he's been mean to her. Maybe he's engaged in pornography. Maybe there's all kinds of things other than just cheating on her. He's not been right. So faithfulness really comes to the core of what we are, yeah, and who we are. And so Jesus was faithful to the Lord because he loved and followed and believed in God. We are faithful to Jesus when we love and believe and follow him as well.
Yeah, Roger, I think culturally we live in an age where in the minds of a lot of people, a faithful friend is always going to support me no matter what. Someone who's going to always be there to celebrate me, to lift me up, to shake their head yes, even when I'm making maybe a very foolish, even sinful choice. It's kind of like the idea of a groupie, you know, who's just going to follow me around and celebrate me as awesome no matter how I live. But I'm struck by Proverbs 27, verse 6, where wisdom tells us, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend." How is it, do you think, that a shepherd in the local church family, or a preacher who loves me, or a Bible class teacher, or a friend, or a spouse in my own house, how is their willingness to wound me, even that, a sign of faithfulness, do you think?
Well, first of all, you know, we got to qualify that. We're not talking about just slaying somebody, destroying their spirit, being ugly, you know, in their face. We're not talking about that. That's the wrong approach to that. But to say I love somebody and I sit there and watch him make poor choices in his life, do I really love him? Here's somebody I really, really is very close to me. Somebody's dear to me, and his boat's heading for the waterfalls, but I don't say anything. Do I really love him? But to say some things that may be hard, to say some things that he may not want to hear, to say some things that may change the direction of his life, but may save his life, may save his soul. That's the faithful wounds. That's someone who really cares. He cares enough about me that he's willing to risk his friendship with us because he would rather me be in heaven than anything else.
Yeah, we talked about earlier this year on a Sunday morning the idea of the holy demolition that Jesus is looking to do in our lives, that if we're going to rise and build what he wants us to build, not only does he have to be the cornerstone, but there is some junk and some filth and rebellious spirit and remnants of sin that have to be cleared out of our lives. That's a part of what it means, according to Hebrews 12, to be looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
And I think just as Jesus was tempted by Satan to pull away his faithfulness, things are going to tempt us as well. And Satan's going to try to get us not to be as dedicated and true to God. He'll try to get us to compromise. He'll try to get us to dilute our spirit and our hope and our faith. And by doing that, he tries to get us to just take a foot off the accelerator and not be as faithful to God as we should be. He'll try to get us to find ways to kind of bend the rules and do things that we want to do. And what happens when those things start coming to us? And if we start following those things, what happens is there's a little transition taking place that we hardly recognize. But what happens is Jesus is moving out of the center of our heart, and we're moving self in.
Yeah.
You see, our heart's only large enough to hold one person in the middle. And Jesus would say in the gospel, you cannot love me and riches. You'll love one and hate the other. You can't have both. And so when I start following self, I'm pushing Jesus out. And so that's why we come back to passages like Luke chapter 9, to deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him.
Yeah, or even earlier in Luke, a disciple is not above his teacher, but every disciple, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. That's what this little series has been all about. What's it mean to look like Jesus? Holy as he is holy, faithful as he is faithful. Roger, we've got one more next Friday, Lord willing. Compassionate as he is compassionate. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks to all of you for listening to the Heaven Bound podcast. We hope that it's helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for the journey. We encourage you as this weekend begins to always remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're holy as he is holy, you're faithful as he is faithful, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.